So we're going to tell a story about two men. They're deserted on an island. One man is totally stressed out, wondering how he's going to get home. And the other one is just relaxing, having a good time. And the one who's stressed out, he looks at the one relaxing and says, "You know, aren't you worried about how we're going to get home?" And the other man said, "I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe faithfully to my church. My pastor will come and find me." Now, today, whenever churches talk about tithe, it can be an awkward conversation, not just for the people sitting there, but also for the pastor who has to give it. But it's important biblical principle that we need to talk about. Now, as an incentive to make sure that you listen close, we are going to play a game at the end. Who likes games? Yes, I see a couple hands. And so that's what your bucks are for. We're going to have some questions at the end for you to earn some more money. If you listen close and you answer correctly, you can earn some more lifeboat bucks. This is not legal tender, okay? So don't try and spend this other than this room. Do not give it a tithe. It is not acceptable. And then we're going to auction some things off for you, all right? And you can use your lifeboat bucks to buy some stuff. Sound good? All right, good. I'm glad you're still alive. All right. All right, first portions. That's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to begin, and we're going to begin at the beginning. The beginning. So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn to Genesis chapter 4, or you can go on the YouVersion Bible app, or there's stuff there. And also, you can follow along on your notes as well. Okay? So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. And while you make your way there, in Bible college, there's this game when I was in my fourth year on Valentine's Day. And all the girls had to wear a heart. And they weren't allowed to talk to the boys. But if they talked to a boy, the boy got their heart. Okay? So I won this girl's heart named Sarah. Not the one in that room over there. A different girl. And then someone else won Sarah over there's heart. But he was already married, so he felt really awkward taking another girl's heart. So I said, "I'll take it." So I took it, and because I had two hearts that had Sarah on them, she said, "Well, you know, mine's not really that special then." So I said, "Well, how about this? I will wear it tomorrow at school." And so I wore it the next day at school, and then I put it in my Bible, and it's been there ever since. So this is 12 years old, this heart. Been in my Bible ever since. Anyway, so starting at verse 2, it says, "Later she gave birth to his brother Abel." So speaking of Cain, gave birth to his brother Abel. "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked favorably on Abel and his offering." So what we see from the outset, Cain brings an offering, but Abel brings his first portions, and it was looked on favorably by God. Now we got to understand, this is before the law. So no one is telling Abel that he is to do this, that, you know, this is rule number one, you bring me the first portion. But he has something that says that he needs to give the first of his resources to God. And now the question is, well, why? And to answer that question, I would say, why not? Right? It's the same thing. Why not? If we are to be trusting God to provide to us, if we are to be stewards, where we use our money shows what we deem important, it makes sense to give God the first portion. It's putting God in trust. We give first to God because it establishes trust, saying that though I give you this first portion, I'm trusting that you will take care of me. And this is then reinforced by the law that is given to Moses. Okay, so prior to the rule, there's this thing inside him that says, give first. We even see this in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside the portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try and to collect it all at once. Yet that's what happens often. You know, we pay all our stuff and then we say, okay, well, what can I give left to God, right? What they are saying is, what the Bible says, what we see in Abel's life and the Apostle Paul saying to Corinth, you give to God first and then trust that he will provide for you the next. The first money principle that we see in Scripture is that God desires our first. So as we look at tithes, we see that what God longs for is that our tithe should be the first portion of our life. So the question is, what is a tithe? Well, it literally means tenth. That's what the word tithe means. So if you want to argue with what the number is, the word tithe means tenth, literally. So we're going to look at chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. So just a little bit. And again, this is Genesis. So this is prior to the law. Genesis 14, verse 18. It says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, we see in Hebrews chapter 7 that Melchizedek is Christ. So this is Christ embodied come as Melchizedek. And we see that Abraham establishes that his first gift, the first that he brings, is a tenth, which we translate as tithe. And now you could say, well, this is just something that Abram did. But as we go on through Genesis, we see it is not just Abraham. This is Jacob. The stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. We see this biblical principle being set up from the very beginning. So this is pre-law. This is prior to the law being given to Moses. So this isn't a rule that God said, okay, now you give me this. This is something intrinsic inside them. Something inside is saying, we need to give God our first and we give him a portion of that first thing. Which we see is a tenth, which is set up as a biblical principle for them. John Rockefeller says this, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. We need to be faithful in the small things. Now, if you have never done this before, this can be a huge stretch. This can be like, whoa, okay, how do I do that? How do I give first and give tenth at the same time? But I believe if we live in the context of the first two messages, when we live in the fact that we tell our money where to go, our money doesn't tell us what to do. That we lord over our money, that we also steward our money in a way that honors God, I believe it becomes a lot easier to implement this in our life. Mark Batterson points out, if you're still living in the world of addition and subtraction, the tithe is difficult to give because it feels like you're subtracting 10% from your income. But once you graduate to multiplication, you realize that God can do more with 90% than you can do with 100%. I've seen this to be true in my life, And I believe it can be true in yours as well. It can be true in yours. That when we give God first and we give him what he asked for, that 10%, our trust in the 90 goes so much further than 100% could ever go. So then we know that now tithe is first and tithe is a tenth. The question then is, where should the tithe go? Where should it go? Like, there's church, there's charity, a sponsored child, there's the good works that we do, and, you know, personally, you know, we help someone out. Is what constitutes where this tithe should go? For this, we're going to turn to Gordon Ramsay. You know what he would say? I can't say it. Beep! Anyway, Dave Ramsey. He says this. Why do they have the same last name? All right. Although I think they kind of talk similar, just minus the swear words. All right. The tithe should go to your local church, which provides the same function as the Old Testament storehouse. You see, the storehouse comes up a lot in Proverbs, Nehemiah, and other places in the Old Testament. Since Israel was largely an agricultural economy, a good percentage of the tithe was given as crops. Those crops went to the storehouse, which was used to feed the poor, widows, orphans, and the priests. And we see this also in the book of Nehemiah. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes. And the Levites are to bring a tithe of the tithes up to the house of God, to the storerooms of the treasury. So to use a flawed analogy, if you will, imagine your favorite restaurant, okay? You sit down, you go, you eat your food. But you never really pay for your food. You enjoy the meal, you get up and go. How much longer is that restaurant going to be able to provide you with food? How long are they going to be able to have the lights on, to pay the waitress, to pay the chef, to pay for the food that actually comes to your table? It just doesn't work. And so God sets up this principle to take care of the temple, to take care of the priests, take care of what needs to happen, the giving to the orphans and the widows and the people that temple was trying to serve. The work that God was trying to do. We see this in Kings, where God calls out the people, both, I believe, Joash and Josiah. He says, hey, you guys have let the temple go to ruins. You have not been bringing your tithes and offerings. And he calls them to bring those to him. And so if we don't pay for the things that the restaurant requires, it cannot pay for them. Now, we live in a world that's no longer agriculturally driven. We are driven by commerce, by lifeboat bucks. This is going to be the new currency. I think we're going to upgrade it, though. Maybe, like, make it digital. Implant it maybe on your hand or your forehead or something. We could just scan it. But anyway, that's an inside joke for people who've read Revelation. All right. So that's where our resources come out of now. That's where that first and that 10 comes. You know, we can't mail our tomatoes from your garden to Malawi. That just doesn't work. Right? We live in a money-driven society. So now as we look to the New Testament, we have to ask, well, does this still apply today? After all, didn't Jesus come and he like said, you know, we don't live by the rules. You know, it's not about rules anymore. It's about a relationship. Well, we see that, one, this was established in Genesis. This is prior to the law. It's why Genesis is one of my favorite books, because everyone is messing up so bad, but yet they seem to have a better relationship with God than the people in Exodus through Malachi. Because they're just in this relationship with God. They're trying to find their way, and God is reaching out to them. So Jesus comes and he raises the bar. He doesn't say, oh, well, we don't lower the bar. Relationship is always over rules. It always demands more than rules demand. So the rule is, in marriage, I'm not to, like, abandon my wife, leave her, forsake her, right? But what does relationship say? Relationship says love, right? So we love. And so that's the same when it comes to God. So as we look at the New Testament, there's a story in both Matthew and Luke that they tell about Jesus calling out the Pharisees. They were coming and they were giving their tithe and, you know, doing their offerings in front of everyone here at church. And Jesus begins to call them out because here they were giving their tithe, but they were forsaking their responsibility to take care of the poor and those in need. Now, when Jesus calls them out, what he didn't say is that you should not tithe, right? He didn't say not to tithe. What he says is this: you should have practiced the latter, the giving of your offerings, without neglecting the former, the tithe. So being generous isn't to subtract from our tithe, but being generous is on top of that tithe. Dave Ramsey says, the affirmation of the tithe and the command to obey it appears throughout both the Old and New Testaments, and it always refers to a tenth of your increase. So farmers gave a tenth of their crops, hunters gave a tenth of their meat, and so on. So it was whatever increase you have. So sell your house, okay? Whatever profit you make on the house, that's an increase, right? You sell a shirt, I don't know. You sell a child, right? Child cost you nothing, right? It's just like free. It just came out one day. Sell that child, guess what? We tithe on that. We go to work, they pay us. That is an increase in us. So we tithe that 10% to him. But this is all to be viewed under the idea of grace. And the argument that's often given, well, you know, grace comes and it gets rid of the rules. But grace isn't about doing less. It's about doing more out of love. It's the opposite of what we see in the book of Acts, the very first church as the Spirit falls. We see an increase of generosity. We see them tithing and helping each other. The generosity flows out of that. Now, I believe that we need to provide some context around that, though. Tithing is what our responsibility in our relationship is. This is the tithing is responsibility. Then past that 10% is what we call stewardship. And generosity flows out of that 90%. And we're going to talk more about what that looks like biblically next week. Next week, and it's my most favorite one, all right, of the series. It's the best one. But this is driven by God's grace in our life. You know, to say that grace calls us to do something less is inconsistent with the way Jesus taught. He said, you have heard it say, do not murder. Well, I say, do not even get angry enough to murder. You heard it say, do not commit adultery. Well, I say, do not even lust. God sent Jesus to bring us grace, which doesn't call us to a lower standard, but through relationship and love, and though we fail, he calls us to something bigger and more. God is calling us to more. And then it's up to us after that 10% to, with God, to determine what that means. What does generosity mean to us and God? If I could get the next slide, my tablet froze. We are to invest our first portion, that 10% of our increase, into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom of God. We're going to look at one last verse, and it is in the end of the Old Testament. It is Malachi, the Italian prophet, or Malachi, as some people say. So very last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this. Man, these numbers are so small. 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This isn't about prosperity message, but this is about the fact that the only place in the whole entire Bible that it says to test God is in our tithes, in the responsibility of our tithes. Not in, you know, the more you give me $10 and that will become a million and you will be able to buy that jetliner for my glory. I had a professor who, in a seminary, he wrote in to one of those people selling hankies and stuff. You know, they said, you send me 10, that will turn into a million for me. He said, well, how about this? Because you're trying to buy a plane. Why don't you send me 10? And then it will turn into a million for you, right? They didn't buy it. But this is the only place, it says, in the whole entire Bible to test God. Nowhere else. And with nothing else. Only in our tithes. Only in our tithes. And to me, see, I was raised always, like, as a little kid, tithing. So, you know, it's always been a part of my life. But here's the thing. Now, I've said this before, and I always say this in our generosity talks that we do, is that if you don't trust Lifeboat with your money, then don't give us your money. But we want you to give it somewhere. We want generosity to be part of your life. But saying this, we do work hard to put your money to good use, to make it productive, to use it for things that honor God and what he is doing. We use it in this community. We use it over in Malawi. And we use it to the best of our abilities. All right. We are going to have our question and response time. And so we have a mic. If you have a question, maybe clarity, maybe you want to push back on something, you can raise your hand and you can do that. I know it's always fun to talk about this.
This first scripture is one that forever has baffled me, bothered me. If there was no law in place, I don't understand why, if Abel gave and then Cain gave, they both gave, why it says that Cain's offering was not looked on with favor. Like if there was no rule already.
Because it's always a state of the heart, right? So we can get into like, oh, well, he gave that, but was it like, what was the state of Cain's heart? And I think his actions after that show that really this was about him and his brother. Why did he kill Abel? Because he was mad at God. You know, this was not about him expressing his love for God. This was about competing and being better than Abel. So that's my take on that. Any other questions? All right. Now, we are going to skip for today our application. I think it's pretty self-explanatory what I think the application is being. If you need help figuring that out, on the back of your bulletin, there's a little tithing worksheet that helps you figure out what that is. But we are now going to play a game. All right. So we have some questions for you. There's just four questions. Get some practical things that, you know, I think we could all use, especially this time of year. Just to know there actually are prizes, real things you can buy. All right? Okay. All right. So, we got to do this in orderly fashion. Let's make the first one Make the first one worth $7, okay? You can earn 7 lifeboat bucks to add to your, what do you get there, 27? Okay, $7 to add to it, right? More money means you can bid higher. So you want to get these right. Okay, don't blurt your answer out and no helping people, all right? Get, put your hand up. First person with their hand up. Who did Jesus call out regarding their tithing practices? Okay, we got back here. Gotta wait for the mic.
The Pharisees?
Good job. All right, here's 7 lifeboat bucks. All right. Where were the Levites to bring their tithe? We'll do this one for 7 as well. I think.
The store.
She got it wrong.
Oh, it's wrong. It's not store. It's not the store.
The temple.
Wrong. Oh, yes. Over here. Greg. Greg over here. Storehouse. Yeah, he got it. Storehouse. $7. All right, this next one's worth 20. $20. Next, each one's, these last two are worth $20. Only 2 questions left. All right. Who's competitive here? Anyone? Yeah? What does tithe mean? A tenth. Yeah. $20 for you. All right. Last one. Here we go. Why was Abel's offering viewed favorably? Yeah, yeah. I always say first fruits too, but he didn't bring the fruit. First portions. Yeah, the first. All right. Okay, so that's it. All right, so we're going to auction off some stuff here. We'll start with like the least exciting and work our way up, okay? All right. All right, so we have some Breton crackers. These things are tasty, yeah? Who likes those? We'll start the bidding at $2. Do we have a $2, anyone? Okay, $2. Anyone? Anyone? More than 2? Going once? Going twice? Sold to Connie for $2. That's not how life works, right? You walk through the mall, you see something, you're like, oh, I want that. You buy it, and then you go to the next store, and you're like, oh. But what if it's a sale item and there's only one? They'll do that? I never tried. All right, next we have Kleenex. Ooh, this is like Kleenex brand Kleenex, okay? This isn't like PC or compliments. This is Kleenex, and it's in a pretty box, and it says ultimate softness. It's like a party in your nose, but don't invite anyone. Okay. All right. All right, $2? Do I have $2? Yes, $2. Five. Five going once? Five going twice? Sold. All right. All right, next we have some work gloves. Look at these. They're grippy, and then they're soft on the backside, so they breathe. Great for picking up things, like a pry bar, according to this. Okay, so start bidding at $2. Do we have $2, anyone? All right, $2. Anyone else? Want to beat the 2? Going once? 20. Oh, 5. 20. $20. $27. Going once. Going twice. So, all right, we're on to our last prize. Oh, Henry bars. Closing out the end with a bunch of mini O. Henry bars. Looks good. All right, we're going to start the bidding at $10, all right? All right, yes, we have a 10. All right. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 45, 51. Okay. 51. 60? Oh, 60. Yeah, no, I didn't. 60. I was going to get all candy, but I thought, oh, people get bored. 77. Up to 80? 80. Ain't he going once? Ain't he going twice? Sold! 80 over there. All right. So I hope that was fun. So now that you had your lifeboat box, you had all that increase, who is ready to give their tithe? Their first portion, 10%, from their lifeboat box. Because I have this $10 PC gift card. And I was just waiting for someone who had their tithe there to give them. Oh, Sherry bought Kleenex. It's not her first portion. Yeah. And some people were generous.
Greg gave his to somebody who
needed. Yeah, so he was generous. But God says, give me the tenth first before you buy, before you're generous, before you do all that. I was really hoping to do this. I used to do this with kids all the time, and they always had some left over. Okay. All right. So it's not about prosperity, but there is blessing in giving God our first, giving God our tenth, and giving God where he says it should go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are gracious to us even when we fail so often. I think how often I fail in stewardship. I fail in generosity. And so often how my tithe can sometimes become an obligation and not out of just love for you and out of trust of you in the wrong kind of heart. So Lord, I pray forgiveness in that. And I pray that you'd help me, you'd help all of us to honor you in the way we manage our finances, to give you our first. Give you our first. We thank you, Lord, and in your holy name, amen.